Hello, listeners, and welcome to Season 6 of InvestScale Conversations. I'm your host, Freeman, and it's a pleasure to have you as we kick off our brand new season. We have been on a brief hiatus, but we're now back with exciting new episodes entitled IKL Center Stage, Driving Sustainable Business in Greater Kuala Lumpur. IKL Center Stage, which stands for Information, Knowledge and Learning, is a platform for thought leaders and change makers to converge, share insights, perspectives, and leverage on the opportunities in Greater Kuala Lumpur. This is one of the many series we intend to continue with future sessions covering various themes and topics pertinent to business in Greater Kuala Lumpur. The global call for sustainable practices has shifted the world, transforming business landscapes and now regarded as an expected business practice. As an investment promotion agency focused on attracting and facilitating leading global companies to establish their global services hub in Greater Kuala Lumpur, InvestScale values the importance of our investors' role in advancing Malaysia's sustainability agenda. At our recent roundtable session, we brought together speakers from diverse industries, sharing their best practices in their operations while maintaining the sustainability compass. Speaking with us in this episode is Mr. Sylvester Wong, Vice President and Asia ESG Services Business Lead for AECOM.
Climate change is starting to affect us in a way that the greatest doubters are no longer talking about whether or not, but really moving into how. So a little bit of background. AECOM is a small little company, 50,000 people around the world. We have about 280 or so here in KL. We've been doing a few notable things like the MRT Line 2. We're working on RTS, the big connection to Singapore, even managing some of the work around the East Coast Rail. So, you know, a few things that impact whole cities, whole regions. And as an infrastructure consulting company, we've been doing a lot of transportation, environment work. We do water. We build cities. As a city designer, I love when all these things come together and the private sector gets involved then with the tall buildings that you see, the stadia, the hospitals, and so forth. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of responsibility. And when we start talking about sustainability and materials and scope 1, 2, 3, all these different things, sometimes it gets very technical. I like to break it down to something a little less technical. We are creating legacies. We are creating things that are going to last for 20, 30, 50, 100 years. And so the impact of the decisions we make with our clients, with our public sector clients or the private sector clients, is immeasurable. It's huge. We make one decision about sourcing materials that are very high in carbon content, then it's something that lasts for a long time. So in order to make real change, as a company, we've kind of organized around something we call sustainable legacies. Sustainable legacies are what we drive, and we are pushing in every single project that we do, from the high-speed rail 2 in London, down to the deep tunnel sewer systems in Singapore, all of these things above ground, below ground. And we start to think about things like, oh, can we save a few 10%, 20% energy, you know, from optimization or for energy efficiencies? And I start to say, wait, hang on a second here. You know, this is we're doing a lot. We're getting involved in these little technical details, but it's not about the 20% or 30% savings, is it? The topic today was about smart cities. And cities, people have been coming to cities for generations for one key thing. It's to build a better future for their families. And so when we're talking about building a better future for families, we're not trying to think about how we're going to save a little bit and try to coexist in a tighter urbanization, a lot of people coming in. We want to talk about 10, 20, 30%, not 30%, 30 times growth. And this is where we have a real opportunity when we're designing the infrastructure that empowers families around all cities to not just think about the small bits of savings, but the 10, 20 times empowerment that we create for communities by creating new green jobs, by creating new opportunities to transition.
Tell us about some of the areas of sustainability that AECOM is working on.
At AECOM, we are working through five different areas of sustainability. One is decarbonization, lowering the carbon footprint. And we've realized that 96% of AECOM's own carbon footprint lies in the scope three with the supply chains, with the construction materials and things that we often guide and specify. So the impact that everyone has, every industry, is not just in our own operations, but in how we influence our clients to make great decisions. So with that decarbonization, we also think about climate, right? Climate risk, climate adaptation, where cities on the brink, cities at the edge. A lot of the work we're doing in Hong Kong or in Manhattan is about not just predicting and figuring out what those impacts are going to be, but how do you create the defenses and the just transition to protect our economies afterwards. We have energy transition, the third one. We're doing so much in offshore wind and hydrogen work, not just the traditional solar and wind. I mean, solar power. Because as we move from economies outside of the traditional large centers of economic growth into places like Southeast Asia and East Asia, we have to think about ways that energy transition works with the existing. You know, for example, here in Malaysia, with so much of our energy tied up in traditional sources, that how do we create economic growth that is balanced by all the move to renewable energy? Sustainable design, that's number four, with things like water systems that create cogeneration opportunities and capturing heat and capturing other waste energy and bringing back into our cities. And finally, the fifth one is growing our impact from social outcomes, right? Social impact outcomes. Great example is what we're doing in San Francisco. As we came out of the pandemic, we had to stitch together again 24 different transit agencies and figure out how to return service to normal. But instead of doing it traditional way, we harnessed data to understand where all the low-income neighborhoods were that were underserved. And by doing that, we were able to create much better impact from our infrastructure investments. So all of this is to say is that there's a lot of ambition out there. Many companies, and we're going to hear this today, we're going to hear a lot of companies have certain net zero targets. We're going to be hearing things like transitions. But now, after setting all those targets, after Climate Week last week, and COP28 is going to come up later this year, we have been sitting and hearing from our public sector and our private sector clients, now that we've set all these targets, where do we go from here? What's our first step? And so our rallying cry now is ambition into action. It's taking these ambitions and taking one step at a time, roadmap, and this is where our technical expertise comes in, to measure, science-based, how much carbon we're actually generating and how much we can save one step at a time.
How has the process been for AECOM so far?
It's been an amazing process. We're very glad to have the opportunity to work with the public sector in these huge infrastructure projects in order to empower. And it comes back then to the one key element, which is who are we empowering? We're empowering communities, small businesses, partners everywhere. This is why we're such a big supporter of InvestKL and the effort to create economic opportunity lifts whole nations as we do this transition.
It is indeed important for businesses to also empower the stakeholders in the sustainability journey. Stay tuned to catch our next episode on InvestKL Conversations. Thank you for listening in. This podcast is brought to you by InvestKL.